To the book of 1 John. We continue our study, Blessed Assurance. Today we're going to take a look at or be reminded of truth. Blessed Assurance of truth. I'm glad I know the truth. How about you? And I'm not just glad I know, I'm glad it's on the inside. Let's stand as we read from the Word of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 is our beginning. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things have I written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for Your precious Word. And I pray that You would open our eyes and open our ears, that we may see You and hear from You through Your Word today. I pray for those who do not know You as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that today will be the day that You will stir their heart, convict of sin, and that, Lord, they would repent of that sin and turn to You for salvation. Lord, I pray for those in this service who need encouragement, that they will be encouraged through Your Word today. I pray for those in this service, Lord, who just need to hear from You, which I believe is all of us. Lord, I pray that we hear from You today. Speak through me. Put Your Word in my mouth, that it may serve to Your honor, to Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. John here in what we just read, he begins on the subject of the Antichrist. Now, when he said in the very beginning, he said, you've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Now, they would be like we would be today, is if I were to say the word Antichrist, this vision would come to your mind of this man of sin that's going to happen during the end of time, where he's going to set himself up in the Jewish temple and demand to be worshipped as God, and he's going to deceive the world. So that would, when John mentions Antichrist, that's the first thing that comes to their mind. But actually, that wasn't what John was emphasizing here. If you'll notice when he says, In the first verse that we read, verse 18, little children, it's the last hours. You know, you've heard the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrist, plural, have come by which we know that it is the last days. So, you know, it's not just about focusing and saying, okay, we're going to, this Antichrist we're looking for in the very end. And until we get there, we don't have to worry about it. John's saying, no. We've got to worry about it in the here and the now. Because many Antichrists already exist. In John's time, he's saying, you know, I understand what the word Antichrist means. That's a person that would replace or take the place of Christ. Or even oppose Christ. And so John is dealing with the people here who have replaced Christ or opposed Christ. And they are a people, he says in verse 18, they were a people who one time were part of the community of faith. They were believers, if you will. Well, they painted themselves to appear to be believers, and because of something that occurred along the way, they had abandoned the faith and they had turned to something else. John says that's Antichrist. They are Antichrist. It may have been Jews who wanted to go back to the old law of Moses and replace Jesus Christ with the law. It may have been pagans who had saw the harsh persecution that believers were facing and said, this is not what I signed up for, and they go back to their idols. But whatever it was, they had in reality rejected Jesus. John called them Antichrist. And John also says the problem with them is that they were never a part of the community of believers. Oh, they were there for a while, but if they were part of the community of believers, they would still be there. Now, I want you to take notice here, because we have this same problem today of people who have abandoned the faith, and we back up and say, what happened to them? Have you ever seen, and I know you have, if you've been in church any time at all, you've seen people come and make a commitment to Jesus Christ, and they last for a week, 2 weeks, a month, maybe even 6 months, and the first thing you know, they're gone. And I'm not talking about they went to another church. I'm talking about they are gone. Gone. No longer a part of the people of faith. And you know what happens when that occurs? The blame is always shifted to be the church, the fault of the church. The finger is pointed, well, I used to be saved. And have you ever heard somebody say, I used to be saved? Let me tell you something. If you were ever saved, you still are. If you're not saved, then you're not. But if you ever were truly saved, you still are. But what happens is these people, they'll get in the church, they will make a confession, and then first thing you know, they're gone. And they will point their finger back at the church. See, it's never the fault of the individual. Have you ever noticed? Yeah. They never say, well, they were a good group of people down there at Victory, but you know, I just turned my back on God and the church. They never say that. They always have a story to tell, like, somebody hurt my feelings. I love that one. Especially when people say, someone hurt my feelings. That old church is down there. It's full of hypocrites and talk about how wrong they are when that individual has literally abandoned the faith. I never did understand. I never did get how people would bail out on God when they faced a little adversity. Somebody said something they didn't like. Somebody did something they disagreed with. And they're like, I'm done. I didn't sign up for this. And I got to thinking about, this is why. This is why. And you know, we only do this in religious circles, in churches. I mean, if somebody hurts your feelings at work, do you say, I'm done, don't give me another paycheck? When you drive on the interstate, listen, if you want your feelings hurt, get on the interstate between Little Rock and Memphis. I get on there, and every time I get on there, I'm never coming this way again. I'm never coming this way again. But I'd wind up back on that stretch of highway. But see, my point is this. So often, it's not the church's fault. So often, it's the individual who never was sincere to begin with in their profession of faith. And please understand, I'm not talking about, I know God moves us from time to time, and He may lead us to another church, but I'll tell you what God will never do. He will never lead you away from faith in Jesus Christ. Never. Sometimes I think we churches have gotten a little bit too seeker sensitive in response to that. And we look and we think, oh, it must be our fault. So maybe we need a new program and let's be more inclusive and I know let's not call sin sin anymore. Let's just embrace everyone. Oh no. Oh no. You see, sin is still sin. And the church is to be a place of truth. And we need to be careful that we not allow this, the mentality of the seeker-sensitive church to replace the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, that kind of mentality comes from Antichrist. I want to tell you about victory, okay? Victory Baptist Church, there's one truth that will never fade away from Victory Baptist Church, and that is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world, and He is the only way to heaven. That's it. And because of that, and when that really gets in your heart, when you are changed by that fact, then let me tell you something. You can't let go of it. You cannot. It sticks with you. And I'm not suggesting that, hey, we may backslide. I get that. We make mistakes and sin. I get all that. But you cannot abandon the faith when you are truly a child of God. You cannot do it. Because we, my friends, the children of God, have an anointing. I like that. Verse 20, he said, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. You know what the word anointing means? It means to pour out or to spread something on someone. When you became a child of God, you were anointed. That just sounds good and religious, doesn't it? What does it mean? What were you anointed with? I want to tell you what you were anointed with. You were anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was poured out upon you, you know, and you became the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. That makes you different. What does the Spirit of God do? John chapter 16 verse 13 tells us when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you to all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He will tell you things to come. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit lives within you, He is your guide to all truth? There is something in the heart of the child of God. A voice of God, if you will, the Holy Spirit of God, that is a continual testimony of Jesus Christ in the life of the believer. People get a little afraid when we talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid at all. He lives in me. He lives in you if you're a child of God. And it's that same Holy Spirit that filled the disciples and they preached on the day of Pentecost that 3,000 souls were added. It's that same Holy Spirit. It's that same Holy Spirit that moved the men of old as they wrote the Scriptures. Listen, you know the truth because you have been indwelled or anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, do you know that Jesus is the Christ? I'm talking about know it. I'm talking about can't get rid of it kind of know it. And when he's denied, it's disturbing. Oh, listen, I was working last week and I was looking at an article and I thought, and it was about the Antichrist. And you know, sometimes we get to surfing on the internet and we need to get off the surfboard and, you know, go back home. And this was one of those conditions that I was looking at. I thought, oh, you know, here's an article on the Antichrist. And I'm not even going to share with you what it was, but it was so blasphemous that it literally shook me to the core. And it denied the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that just literally, I had to turn off my computer because I felt so dirty. And we're not talking about nasty, you know, immoral dirt. I felt like I was near the devil, is what I felt. It was that Spirit of God inside me saying, no, this is a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. And I had to pray afterward. I just had to stop. Lord, get that away from me. See, that's the Holy Spirit whereby we may identify truth as opposed to a lie. Oh, listen. It's because of that indwelling Holy Spirit that we're not led into the lies of false religion. You see, the truth is, Jesus Christ, and I said this a while ago, but I'm going to say it again because this is what this whole message is about. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And let me tell you, I say that without apology and without reservation. The world would back up and say, well, Doug, what makes you think you're right? I'll tell you what makes me think. I don't think I'm right. I know I'm right. Because the Spirit of God testifies within me. I love the verse Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Do you have that assurance today? That's my challenge to you. Everyone present. Are you assured that Jesus Christ is living within you? It's not about religion. It's not about a denomination. It's about a living Savior. And that living Savior is Jesus Christ, the only avenue to heaven. Do not get on board with the world that says your religion is just as good as my religion. Your God is just as good as my God. No, there is one God. And He has one Son. And there is that's inside that just, sometimes it just screams. Doesn't it, Brother Ken? Sometimes that Holy Spirit just screams. The world needs Jesus. And it's not hard to figure out because look around and see what the condition of the world is. Well, Brother Doug, what about the Muslim religion? They think they're right. Look at the Muslim religion. They fly airplanes into buildings. It doesn't make sense. And they do that thinking that's going to get me to heaven. No, it won't. The only thing that will get anyone to heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed 2,000 years ago upon the cross of Calvary. You see, that's why Christianity is so... it's so clear. What man needs is forgiveness. What we need is sin taken care of, because sin is the problem. And no other religion in the world has addressed the problem of sin except Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So what's John saying? He's saying, watch out for these antichrists. Verse 24, he's saying, let that abide in you from which you have heard from the beginning. Do you realize this started before the creation of the world? That God set in motion man's plan for salvation. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin. And He did that. I go back to the day that I was saved. Let's take just a moment and go back to the day you were saved, okay? Go back to the time you were saved. Do you know what happened? I remember that day. I was 8 years old. I got on my knees and I asked Jesus to save you. And I can't explain everything that happened, but one thing I knew: when I knelt down on my knees, I was going to hell. But when I got off my knees, I was going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. I didn't know a lot then. Well, I didn't know anything then. But I knew Jesus Christ was enough. And John, as he says, you know the truth. He said, I'm not writing because you don't know. I'm writing because you do know. I'm writing to remind you that it's all about Jesus. You know about Jesus. Go back to where you were saved, that time where you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you can't go back to that time, you better take a look. Are you saved? Abide in it. Stay with what you know. Do not be distracted by the Antichrist or people that would replace Jesus with something else. Abide in Him. I want to tell you, when I think of, you know, back when I was saved, the truth of Jesus Christ was preached. And I received the truth. You know something wonderful about the truth? The truth will still be the truth in 30 years. And 60 years. And 100 years. And a lie will still be a lie in 30 years, 60 years, or 100 years. Yeah? That's why it's so important to abide. Dig your feet in. Do not be led astray by this move. It's okay. It started before the foundation of the world. It culminated in the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And it's been preached ever since. That's okay. It's still the truth. We're living in a culture, you know, that seems to be all about change. Let's change everything. But the culture is swinging. And you ever watch that show, Antique Archaeology? I watched it for a long time, and I got to where I don't watch it anymore, because once you've seen them buy one old thing, you've seen them buy it all, right? But I still think it's really cool. They go all over the country buying old stuff. They go all over the country buying old stuff. And then they bring it back to their shops, and they sell it for twice what they paid for it. Pretty cool, right? You see, the world has kind of got this fad going back to the world likes old stuff. Which, let me tell you, is kind of encouraging to me, because at this point, I'm an antique. If I were a car, I'd be an antique twice over, right? It'd be all right. I have, Beth has a Victrola in her living room. A Victrola. I'm talking about it has crank. But I think that's okay. I'm not fussing at you, sweetheart. Because I see a lot of old things. People build new houses and put old things in it. What's your point, Brother Doug? My point is this. Just because it's old doesn't mean it's not any good. Okay? If it was the truth long ago, it's still the truth today. Hebrews chapter 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. It's the long and short of it. The gospel message will never change. The Messiah of the world will never change. The method of salvation will never change. Do not allow this world to lead you down the road where they try to change where you've placed your faith and your trust. Hold on to the truth. Because truth will be holding on throughout eternity. My friends, I hope this message, the idea in John, John's idea is just encouragement. You know the truth. Stay with it. Do not be deceived. Stay with what you know. And I'm not against, don't get me wrong, we have wonderful programs at Victory and youth programs and senior ministries, and all that's good as long as Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of everything that we do. And He is, and that's where we're going to keep Him. Amen? Because we're going to hold on to that truth. That God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. It is a gift from God according to Ephesians 2:8. All I can do is ask for it and receive it by faith. Have you done that today? Have you called upon the name of Jesus where you asked for God's salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, knowing that He is the Son of God who died for your sins, that He is the Son of God who rose from the grave, and that He is today the Son of God seated at the right hand of the Father waiting for you to call upon Him. And even more interesting, even better news, He's coming back. He's coming back. Are you ready to meet Him? If not, today's the day to prepare. Today's the day to prepare. Our Father in heaven, we pray today for the strength and the courage to take our stand upon the truths of Your Word. That Jesus is indeed the chief cornerstone. He is the only name given among men whereby men must be saved. Father, help us to hold on to the truth and to not be deceived by those antichrists who would replace the precious name of Jesus or oppose the precious name of Jesus. Today, Father, help us to all renew our commitment and our devotion to You. Lord, I pray now that if there's one who needs to respond to the gospel message of salvation, that today, right here, right now in this invitation, they will respond. In Jesus' name I pray.